You're listening to Amud V'Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Brachos, Daf Lamed, Dalid, Amud Beis. We are going to be finishing the fifth parak today. Just a heads up, the conversation is going to get a little bit heavy. I'm not thoroughly prepared in anything beyond just simple pshat in it. We're doing a half hour earlier, didn't prepare properly enough mefarshim on the heavy section that we'll get to in a little bit. So I'll point out what it is, and we'll see if we can make the heads or tails of it. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. We are a few lines from the top, 5, 6, 7 lines from the top. We were just talking about bowing, the different types of bowing. In a Kohen Gadol, of a Melech, of a regular person. So we said that a regular person, a non-Kohen Gadol, not Melech, there's a Machlokas, how often a Kohen Gadol or a Melech bows. But both opinions agree that a Hedyot, a simple person, bows twice, once at the beginning and end of Avos, and once at the beginning and end of Modim. So now we're just talking a little bit about bowing. Different types, different lashonos of bowing that are used to us. Nah, so Tana Rabbanan, Keda alapayim. So Keda, this type of bowing, is on the face. Shneimar v'tikod bas sheva apayim aretz. That bas sheva did this Keda, she bowed to the earth, so her face to the ground. It's not mentioned here in Rashi, but the Gemara in, I believe it's Megillah, talks about Kida, that it's actually this very intense bowing where it's bowing while standing up, face all the way to the ground, only supporting yourself on your thumbs. So it's like an interesting type of bowing. And there was an Amora, I believe, a Rav Levi, who got seriously injured while doing Keda. There was probably the Gemara discusses that it's probably because he also did something wrong. It was a dangerous thing at the same time. But so he became like paralyzed from doing Keda. But this is that type of bowing. There's also Kriya, right? This lashon of Kriya. We have in Lalenu, every knee should bow. So Kriya al berkayim, that's bowing with the knees. Shenemar michroa al berkav. Bowing on the knees. So when you bow by bending your knees, that would be called kriya. Hishtachavaya, prostrating, I guess, would be the best word. Zu poshet yadayim v'raglayim. That's spreading out your hands and legs, fully prostrated, flat on the ground. Something along the lines of what we do on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that in the Beis Hamikdash they would actually do it, and they wouldn't have like, you know, pass out the little papers in front of you. They did the real thing there. Shenemar, as we have the pasuk supports this, Shenemar haba navoa ni v'imcha v'achecha l'shtachavos lach artza. Right, that I and your mother and your brothers we're going to come bow to you to the ground. So that's talking about hishtachavaya, lashon hishtachavos, and that's what's going on there. Okay, Amar Rav Chiya b'Rei Rav Huna, chazina lehu labai v'rava dematzlu atzluye. I saw Abaye and Rava that they would daven, while leaning to the side, which is from the Gemara and Megillah. Seems to be talking about Tachnun, that they wouldn't necessarily completely spread themselves out. They kind of like just lead to the side, maybe like a Nefilas Apayim, but they didn't completely prostrate themselves. Of course, Abaye and Rava are well after the Beis Hamikdash. We're talking about Galus in one of the, you know, in Surah and Pumbedisa in Bavel. So it's that's what it says about Abaye and Rava. Tani chada hakorea behoda. So we learn in Brisa, somebody who is korea, who bows in hoda, harizeh meshubach. So that's a praiseworthy thing to do, to bow in hoda. V'tani idach. We learn another Brisa, harizeh meguna. It's a disgusting thing to do, to bow during Hodah. So, lo kasha, sounds like a contradiction? Nope, lo kasha. Ha betchila, ha levasof. Now, at the beginning, it's disgusting to bow during Hodah, which seemingly means Modim. And at the end, it's an appropriate thing to do, to bow. So, hold on. Rava kara b'hodah, tchila, vasof. So the truth is, I would have answered this. The Gemara doesn't do this, so I don't know why not. And I'm sure the Mefarshim discuss. All right, I hope my thought is good enough that the Rishonim discuss. But I thought just it's a lesson of Korea, right? Like bowing. It seems to be that it's using it like just stam bowing. But Korea means bowing with the knees. So maybe we bow with the knees only at the end and not at the beginning. We don't bow with the knees. We bow straight down without bowing with the knees. But the Gemara doesn't understand it like that. I didn't see enough Rishonim to see why not. But so I'm sure that's not pshat. I'm curious why. And our Chazar is in Birkas Hashem. So Kara Behoda. So Miguna Lokasha Ha B'Tchila Ha L'Vesof. Rava Kara Behoda Tchila L'Vesof. But Rava would do both. Amri Le Rabbanan. Am I covered, Marhachi? So the Rabbanan said to him, "Well, why does the master do this? Why do you do both at the beginning and the end? Didn't we resolve a contradiction of these two brises by saying that it's not appropriate to bow during both?" Amar Lahu, he said to them, "Chazina Rav Nachman dekara v'chazina le'ilu Rav Sheshes dekavid hachi. I saw Rav Nachman do this. I saw Rav Sheshes do this. So this is a halacha." V'hatanya, but we went to the brisa hakre behoda harizem beguna. We learned in the brisa that if you bow during hoda, it's disgusting. Hahi behoda sheva halel. So that's talking about the hoda in halel, right? So when we say hodu Hashem ki tov ki li'olam chasdo in halel, that's what Rashi explains it. So that's what it's talking about. When we said bowing behoda is a good thing to do, so that was talking about in modim at the beginning and the end, as Rava did, as Rav Nachman did, as Rav Sheshes did. When we say that it's the Brisa says it's meguna to bow during hoda, that's not hoda of modim shmona esrei, that's hoda of halel. V'hatanya, we went to the Brisa hakreya behoda ubehoda shal halel harizeh meguna. So wait, very explicit. The Brisa says if you bow during hoda or during Hoda of Hallel, that's disgusting. So how are you going to understand Hoda? It sounds like it's a contradiction. No. Kitanya hahi behoda deberchas amazo. No, you got the wrong Hoda again. Something about no delecha. Somebody who bows in no delecha of berchas amazo. I'm assuming that, I'm sure, it probably doesn't mean the Hodu at the end of berchas amazo in Yeru as Hashem. I doubt it. It probably means the no delecha, so if you bow no delecha during berchas amazo or Hodu Hashem ki tov ki li'olam chasdo and halal, those are inappropriate things to do. But to bow at the beginning of modim, at the end of modim, that is indeed the appropriate. That's the Masorah of Rav Sheshes, Rav Nachman, Rava, and therefore we should do it. Halacha maisa. Okay. Last Mishnah of the Perek. Masnisen ha mispalel v'ta simon ralo. Somebody who davens and he makes a mistake in his davening, it's a bad sign for him. It's not a good sign if you make a mistake in your davening. What does that mean? Okay, I don't know. I mean, there's an indication of what it might mean later on in the Mishnah, but it's simon ralo. We'll leave it at that for now. Shliach tzibar, who if he's the shliach tzibar, so right, stakes are greater. Simon rali sholchav. It's a bad sign for those who sent him up there. Right, so he's a representative of the tzibur. So there's a bad sign for the tzibur. Now, just what's the simon and what's the tzibur? I mean, like what? Why is it? What's the simon ra? Is it that he causes a bad thing to come about, or that he didn't cause anything? Like we don't blame you for the mistaken davening, or the shliach tzibur for the mistaken davening, but rather because something bad is to come, so it manifests in a mistake happening through you, through Shliach Tzibur. So it seems to be the latter. You could try to bring Rios, but it's considered a Simen Ra, bad sign, right? Not a bad thing. It's a Simen Ra. It's a bad sign. Amru Alav Al Reb Chanina Ben Dosa. So they said about the great Reb Chanina Ben Dosa. So Hayim Espal Al Hacholim. He would daven for cholim. V'omer, what he would say? Zechai v'zemes. He'd say, this guy's going to die. This guy's going to live. This guy's going to die. I don't know if he was so blunt to say that befeirish to everybody, but it means that when he would daven, he was pretty sure through his tefillah who was going to live and who was going to die. Amrulo, they said to him, minayin ata yodea. How do you know that? Amr lahem, he would say to them, im shagur tefillah si b'fi, if the tefillah was fluent in my mouth, Yodea ani shu mekubal. I know that he's a mekubal. No. I know that it, my tefillah, and my supplications were accepted. Vim lav, but if not, if it's like I'm stuttering and I'm stammering and the words aren't coming out right and they keep botching up the name, vim lav yodea ani shehu metur. If I know that my tefillah has been torn apart in Shemayim, they are not mekabel that. This is. So it seems to be an extreme, like Rabbi Chanina Mendoza is on a very high level, and therefore that's what it is. I mean, sometimes you just have people who stutter. Sometimes people are just not good with pronouncing Hebrew words. So it's probably not, it's not talking about them. It's someone who's very in tune with this tefillah, and this tefillah is a real strong, powerful conversation with Hashem. So if he knows how it feels, he could sense whether or not his tefillahs are accepted or not. Now, on some lower level than that, there is a concept of a simen ra, that someone makes some sort of mistake in davening, especially at Shliach Tzibur, that it's some sort of simen ra, not with the clarity and the certainty of Rav Chanina Mendoza and his tefillahs, but to some degree, that's why the Mishnah is matching them together. Okay. The Gemara says, hey, yay. So where is this referring to? Where's what referring to? Rashi says, "Behecha uba ezo min abrachos have a toos besimen ra." So where, which bracha, or at which point in Shmona Esrei, is it a simen ra if he makes a mistake? Is it anywhere, or is there a particular place? So the Gemara answers, "Amrochi amro safra mishum chad debe rabbi." So Rav Chiya said in Rav Safra, based on one of the talmidim of the Academy of Rebbe, but avos, if you make a mistake in avos, that's a simen ra. Ika demasnila abraisa, but there are some who taught that teaching, that last teaching that we just said, the teaching of Rav Chiya, Rav Safra, Mishum Chad Debe Rebbe, on the following braisa, hamispalot sarin shei chavinis liva b'kulan. So one who davens needs to have kavana, needs to get his lev to have kavana for all of them. Vim eino yachol chavin bekulon. If you can't have kavana for everything, yachavin esliva ba'achas. You should have kavana for at least one bracha. Oh, any bracha? That's great. So, what's the shortest one? I don't know. Pick a really short one. No, you know, it's not up to you. Amar chi amar safra mishum dechad debe rebi ba'avos in avos. It would seem that according to this pshat, meaning this Ika Damasne, so the first one of the Simen Ra isn't just in Avos, it'd be in all of davening. Meaning if this qualification was not said in regard to the mistake thing, rather it's said into the Kavana for one Bracha thing, then the mistake thing would probably go on all of davening. But that would be just a nafkamina in this. Okay. Amru Alav Rabbi Chanina v'chule. So this was said about Rav Chanina Mendoza. Mina hanimili, where do we know this? Is there a source for such a kind? Does Rav Chanina Mendoza just make that up? How do we know that if it's shagura befiv, that it's a simen, it's a simen tova raf or something? Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, damar krok, as the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, borei niv svasayim, shalom shalom rachok v'lakarov. So he creates the movement of lips, peace, peace to those to the one who is far and to the one who is near. So Rashi, Omar Hashem v'refativ, and Hashem said that he has been healed, or I have healed him. So Rashi says that it's a lush, dart a drasha on the lashon of bore keshniv bari. Now it's not bore, but it's bari. That when I'm speaking bari with health and clarity, but Adam. Az muvtach al hashalom. There, then I'm like guaranteed on his peace. Meaning that we're darshaning borei, he creates as bari, that bari nisvasayim, when my lips are davening clearly, healthily, they're very sound, my ability to daven, so I know that rifativ Hashem is going to heal that person. That's the source in Tanakh for this concept of Rav Chanina Mendoza that he would live. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba. Okay, now I just realized this next discussion is going to be a discussion about Mashiach, Olam Haba, the Schar involved, and for relating Talmid Chachamim. And I wasn't sure. I was trying to figure out. I didn't look over too much what it had to do with this thing. But I realized that this pasuk that we quote, Shalom Shalom Rachok V'Lakarov, is going to be quoted in this discussion. So it's a heavy. So this is the heavy discussion that the Rishonim write at length about. It's a great machlokas Rishonim based on this great machlokas in the Gemara, and could be very relevant for our time. So we'll see. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol neviim kulam lo nisnu el masi bito l'tamin chacham. All the neviim didn't prophesy, right? All of them prophesied many great rewards about this, you know, wonderful things that will come to, you know, seemingly the righteous. But he says all of them that they had nevuah, it's only what reward does it go to? Whom does the reward go to? Only to somebody who's masi bito l'tamid chacham, to somebody who is great enough that they marry off their daughter to a tamid chacham. Ula osa prakmati l'tamid chacham, and somebody who does business ventures to profit and to benefit a Talmid Chacham. Ula mahan a Talmid Chacham min a chasav, and somebody who benefits a Talmid Chacham with his property. Ava tamid chachamim atzman. But what? But all these beautiful brachos and promises of the Nevi'im, beautiful promises of the Nevi'im, these great rewards. So that's not talking about the Talmid Chacham themselves. That's talking about someone who marries their child off to a Talmid Chacham, who benefits a Talmid Chacham. But what about the Talmid Chacham themselves? So regarding that, the pasuk says, it's a relatively famous pasuk about Ol Nava, which is also from Yeshayahu. Ume olam lo shamu lo hazinu ayin lo ra'asa elokim zulascha yaseh lemechakilo. Right? Ayin lo ra'asa elokim zulascha yaseh lemechakilo. An eye has never seen, an eye has never witnessed, right? I know it's eyewitness, but an eye has never witnessed the greatness of what is to be rewarded to that person. Right? That's something we can't. The Nevi, even the Nevi'im couldn't describe the reward that would go to Talmid Chacham. To people who benefit a Talmid Chacham, so that reward we can at least talk about. That's the beautiful brachos of the Nevi'im. But this is something beyond. He has a different pshat. He says, or a similar phrase, all the nevuos of the Nevi'im. What are they referring to? When Yeshayahu talks about this this perfection, when they're talking about a great day, when Yirmiyahu talks about Yechezkel, Micha, what are they talking about? Ela Yemos HaMashiach. They're referring to days of Mashiach. Ava L'Olam Haba, but Olam Haba, which is not Mashiach, Ayin Lo Ra'asa Elokim Zulascha. And I has never witnessed this except for Hashem. Only Hashem could tell us what Olam Haba is like. We could say, you know, okay, what's Olam Haba? It's like, you know, infinite ice cream and cookies. We have no idea. We can't even describe and put into words. What were the Nevi'im able to see and prophesy about and share and relay? They were talking about Mashiach, times of Mashiach. Upliga de Shmuel. But this actually argues on Shmuel. Damar Shmuel, Ein bein ha'olam hazeh li'yemos ha'mashiach, ela shibud malchios bilvad. There's no difference between the days of Mashiach and the world we currently live in, except for the shibud malchios, the servitude to the kings around us, meaning being subject to other nations, that's the only difference. Shneimar ki lo yechdal evyon mikarev haaretz, because the pasuk says, the pasuk of nevuah says that there's never going to be evyon ceasing from the world, meaning we're always going to have poor people. Meaning even when Mashiach comes, people will still be destitute, there'll still be poor people, there'll still be sickness, there'll still be a lot of things that challenge us today, even when Mashiach comes. Some people think that when Mashiach comes, everything is better, all the problems go away. Not necessarily. Shmuel doesn't think so. It's a machlokis in the Gemara. Shmuel doesn't think so. Right? And he says, it's going to be much better than it is, right? We're going to have a frum government in Eretz Yisrael run by the descendant of David HaMelech, by massive Talmid Chacham, descendant of David HaMelech, Mashiach. The Jewish people will have free access to Eretz Yisrael. No one's going to be subject to anti-Semitism in America or France, and we're not going to want to live there. We'll all basically be in Eretz Yisrael. We're going to make our way over there, but it's going to look a lot like the way it looks now. Not too much will change. It's not, you know, cotton candy trees and that kind of thing that you might think Mashiach is. This is Shmuel. Now, it's Sitri HaMachlokas, right? It says that the Machlokas against Shmuel is the previous opinion, which says that, no, you know what Mashiach is? You see the like crazy things that Yeshayahu was talking about famously, the wolf and the lamb and like new world order and things are, you know, it's going to be like something beyond only within your wildest dreams. That'll happen in Mashiach. But Shmuel says, no, it's Shibud Malchus. It's great. It's a good thing. Halavai. Halavai. We live in that time where there isn't terrorism, where, you know, who owns Harbias? We do, not our cousins. Halavai. That should be the time. And that will be the case. That at the very least, that's what Mashiach is. That's what Shmuel says. Now this is going to spill over, obviously, Machlokas in the Rishonim and the Rambam and more in the rationalist camp will take the Mashiach to be very much like the world we live in, not, you know, everything else. But this Machlokas is an Amarayek Gemara Machlokas first, that is Machlokas in the Rishonim as well. Okay. You're still going to have poor people even in times of Mashiach. Remember Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. And Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, he said the previous Maimer, so he's going to say this one as well. On Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Hanaviim Kulan Lo Nisnabu El Lebalei Tshuva. So this is similar to the previous, the two statements ago, that all the brachos and beautiful things that are going to be granted as prophesied by the Nevi'im. So what were all those brachos for? Whom were all those brachos for? Those are for the Balei Tshuva. Of the tzaddikim gemurim, tzaddikim who never sinned, ayin lo ra'asa Elokim zu'escha. Only Hashem could see the great word for that. So much greater. Bali tshuva, they did averos, but you did tshuva, brach Hashem. So you get all these beautiful brachos. I mean, it's not too shabby, all the wonderful brachos in the Nevi'im. But the tzaddikim gemurim, what they get, and I has never seen them. This is not a unanimous opinion, as I'm sure. You know, most people would say, "Well, hold on," because the more famous thing that we hear all the time, especially in the last bunch of years of Baruch Hashem, all these mass tshuva movements, upligad Rabbi Bahu. This argues against Rabbi Bahu. Dem Rabbi Bahu, makom shabali tshuva omdin tzaddikim gevurin einan omdin. That tzaddik, seemingly the simple understanding of this maimer is that balei tshuva are even greater level than the tzaddikim. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, and this seems to be why. We're quoting this whole discussion now. Shneimar, because the pasuk says, "Shalom, shalom, l'rachok v'l'karov." Right. So this has to be quoted earlier with the nevuah, the tefillah being flew into someone's mouth. So greetings, greetings to the far and to the near. So who's the far? The Baal Tshuva. And so we greet first, right? So Bereisha, l'rachok Bereisha, v'hadar l'karov. The one who was originally far and the one who's always close to Baal Tshuva, so he gets a shout out after, he gets a second greeting. Therefore, we see that a Baal Tshuva is greater. So don't tell me that the promise in Brachos and the Nevi'im, the Brachos and the Nevi'im, that was talking about the Baal Tshuva, the Tzaddikim Gemurim, they're getting a greater. No, said if anything, the other way around. But we'll have to go on. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lach, Rabbi Yochanan will say to you, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that no, the Bali, Tzaddikim Gemurim are greater. My Rechok, he would say, what does Rechok mean? You thought Rechok means Baal Tshuva is from far away. No. Rechok, Shahaya Rechok Medavar Avera. No, he was far from Avera. Meikarov, originally. Umay Karov, what's a close person? Shahaya Karov Ledavar Avera, Vinisrachik. He was originally close to the Vera, and then he distanced himself. So he reinterprets that pasuk, he says, no, it's not a Raya. Nisrachik Mimenu. Hashta my ayin l'ra'asa. So now, with that said, what has the eye never seen? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, ze yayin mishumar ba'anava mishesh yisimei breishis. This is referring to the wine that was guarded from the grapes from the 6 days of breishis. And I, that's the greatness. If you wanted to know what Olam Haba is, what is that indescribable Olam Haba that no, an eye has never witnessed? It's good, really, really old wine from the 6 days of creation. I like my wine. I'm looking forward to the Seder night. I enjoy pouring very much. I don't know what this means. It's obviously infinitely deep. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Ze Eden Shalosh Shatabo Ayin Kol Bria. No. This is not. It's not. The wine, it's Aden. It's going into Aden yourself. That is the great reward that awaits the righteous, and an eye has never witnessed this. So what's the obvious question? No one has ever witnessed Aden? I can't hear you, but it's okay. But I know you know the answer. And it's also a couple lines. So, Shema Tomer Adam Arishon. So maybe you're going to tell me Adam Arishon. Hechan haya, Adam Rishon, you're going to say, oh, Adam Rishon, he didn't, he can't say, no, I ever saw it, because Adam Rishon did. No. Hechan haya, where was Adam Rishon? Began. He was in Gan Eden. He wasn't in Eden itself. He was in the Gan. Vishema Tomar, maybe you'll say, who Gan, who Eden? Wait, it's Gan Eden. It's the same place. It's the Gan, it's Eden. You don't, he was in the Gan, he didn't see Eden. No, no. Says the Gemara, Tamalamar, the Pasuk says, V'nahar Yotzeme Eden Lahashkos Hesagan. V'nahar Yotzeme Eden. Right? The river came out of Eden, Lahashkos Hesagan. To water the Gan. Gan Lachud, V'Eden Lachud. No, they're different places. There's a place called Eden, and within Eden there was a Gan, there was a garden, and Adam and Chava were in that Gan, but they never saw the outside of Eden. I guess they were pushed out right away or went out through the back. But they never saw Eden fully. Okay, Tana Rabbanan Maisa Shechala Beno Shal Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel's son got very sick. Shagar Shnei Tamidei Chachamim to Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa. So he sent two Tamidei Chachamim to Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa. Levake Shalav Rachman to Davin Kevin Sharao Sam Alal Aliyah. When he saw them, so he went up to the attic. Ubike Shalav Rachman and he davened. Now it looks like they didn't even get a chance to ask. It could be he knew through some Ruach HaKodesh or he checked his WhatsApp, whatever. Barida Toh, and in his going down from the attic, Amar Lem, he said to them, Lechu, go back, Shechalat Toh Chama, that the heat has been removed from him. And he had a fever, he said, the fever has been removed. Amar Lo, they said to him, V'chi Navi Ata, are you a Navi? Amar Lehen, Lo Navi Anochi, V'lo Ben Navi Anochi. No, I'm not a Navi, I'm not a Ben Navi. Ella kachmikublani. This is the Kabbalah that I've received. Is im shagur tefila si befi yodei ani shu mikubal v'im lav yodei ani shu maturav. I know based on my tefila whether someone's going to live or not. Yeshu. So they sat for a moment. V'kusvu, and they wrote it. V'rusvu v'kavnu osa shah, and they wrote down the exact time that he said that. Where I wanted to test him. Uchshabali to Rabbi Gamliel. When they came to Rabbi Gamliel, Amar lehen. Havoda, wow, by the service of the Beis HaMikdash, there's a lesson of exclamation of swearing of some sort, positive swearing, like by God. You know, Havoda, lo chasartem velo husartem el kachay emaisa. You didn't miss a thing, you didn't add a thing, exactly how you said it, that's how it was. Maisa ba'osa shah, right, ba'osa shah, at that time, chalatz tochama, the fever left him, v'shah lanu mayim lishtos, he actually asked us to drink, he got his appetite back, at least for some water. V'shuv maisa, another story, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, shahalech lilmo Torah, itza Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he went to learn by his Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, v'chala b'nosha Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Rebbe, we mentioned before we mentioned his deathbed, him on his deathbed, Daf Chav Ches, right? The one who basically saved Judaism with his interaction with Vespasian. Amar Lo, he said to him, Chanina Bani, because his Rabbi Menachem Zakkai's son got sick. Chanina Bani, Chanina, my son, Bikei Shalav Rachamim, please daven V'yichya, so that he should live. Haniach Rosha Ben Berkav. So Chanina Midasa went into he put his head between his knees. Seemingly like something like the fetal position, ubikesh lev rachamim, and he davened and he besought divine mercy. The choya, and then Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's son lived. I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Imalei etiach ben Zakkai es rosho ben Berkov goliam gulo lo hayu mashkichin alav. Right, he said. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said about himself, had ben Zakkai put his head between his knees like all day long, nobody up in Shemayim would have listened to him. Meaning he's saying, he's praising Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's ability to get Tefillah's answer. Amar lo ishto, so his wife said to him, as blunt as a wife could say, v'chi Chanina gadol mimcha, is Chanina better than you? Is he greater than you? Right, your Talmud. Amar lo, lav, no way. Ela, hu dome ke'eved lifnei emelech, rather, I am like an Eved before the king. I'm a master before the king, Hashem. And he is like a slave before the king. And I am like a Tsar. I'm like someone like a prince or like some officer. And there are different opinions of what this is. The Marsha, Ben Yoyada Marsha, I think, says that it has to do with the general role of like an officer, like a Tsar, who he usually does public needs, but not personal needs. And Eved kind of has so many interactions that he can ask for personal things sometimes. Ben Yoyada says it's more of an another thing, that he considers himself like an Eved before Hashem. Reuach HaMazach, he says, I have a very chashuv position, I'm treated in a very chashuv way, and I'm not able to humble myself to the degree that Reuach HaMazach is, and therefore my tefillos don't get answered to the same extent. Okay, let's wrap it up. Another teaching from Reuach HaMazach, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Al Yispal Adam Ela B'Bayis Sheyesh Sham Chalonos, you should only daven in a house that has windows. Shenemar v'chaven psichon le balise neged Yerushalem. Right, Daniel would daven facing the windows in the attic. So you should daven ideally in a house that has windows. Amar Rav Kahana chutzif alay man dematzli v'biksa. I find it very chutzpahdik for somebody who davens in a biksa, but rashes v'bika in a valley kishu b'makom tznius. You should, right, a valley is like a big open space. Rather, daven in makom tznius tala elav emas melech v'libo nishbar. If you daven in a more tsanua place, then the fear of the king is upon you, and your heart is a little bit more broken. A big open space is gaivedik. Another pshat that's given is that it might be that it's easy to get distracted in a big open space, a lot of people, and you're saying, I have such kavana that I can daven anywhere. I can daven in the middle of the sidewalk of Manhattan, and I'm fine. So that's a chutzpahdik thing to do also. Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana says, chutzif alai, you know what, I find chutzibik man de mefarish chata'el, somebody who explicitly states his sins, right? Shenemar Ashur, alright, so meaning different shots of what it might be. You state your sins, first of all, it's a chilul Hashem that someone does an Avera. So if you say, you know, some people like are very proud of the Averas they do, and even if they're not so proud, but they talk about it, you should be embarrassed by the sins, right? As Chatai and Askira Yom, the Sarah Mashkim said, I'm embarrassed to say my sins before the king. It's a chutzpah to say I did an Avera against Hashem. So you should be very careful about that. Shenemar Ashur, Nasoi Pesha Kisoi Chata. Praiseworthy is one who like bears his sins and like tries to cover up his sins, that he's embarrassed, he's ashamed before the king. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean to like live a double life and be, you know, two faced. That's not what it's talking about. But it's saying that we shouldn't be so quick to say, you know, like, you know, wear all our averas on our sleeve, because every avera is a chutzpah to Hashem. Hajin aloch in omdin. We have to finish many more together. Thanks, Hashem. Have a good day.